Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon. A week ago, Friday, we gathered together and we celebrated the birth of Jesus as we looked at the Christmas story together from Luke's Gospel, the second chapter. And then last Sunday, Pastor McLean preached a message from the third chapter of Luke where we read about the baptism of Jesus, which was the occasion where the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. And today in Luke chapter 4, we're going to read together a passage where Jesus defines his purpose or his mission, the reason for which he came into the world in the first place. Why is he here? And what is he intent on doing? And what he declares in proclaiming that mission is he declares that that mission is in and through the work of the Holy Spirit in his life. Luke chapter 4, you'll find this passage in your bulletin if you want to read along. Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 18. This is Jesus speaking, and he's quoting from the prophet Isaiah, specifically the 60th chapter of Isaiah. And Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." He rolled up the scroll and handed it back to the attendant and sat down. And all eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently. And then he began to speak to them. "The scriptures you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day." Excuse me. The work of the Holy Spirit has been the focus of our sermon series the last several months, actually beginning back in September. And today we are finishing that particular sermon series by taking a look at the work of the Holy Spirit specifically in the life and the ministry of Jesus. But by taking a look at how the Holy Spirit is involved in his life, it helps us to understand how the Holy Spirit is involved in our life. Because Scripture is clear. Jesus himself says it, that the Spirit of God that is with him is a Spirit of God that he has given to each one of his followers to do in us what the Spirit did in Jesus. Way back in the first chapter of Luke's Gospel, we read that when an angel appeared to Mary, the mother of Jesus, the angel said to her that a son will be conceived in you. You are to name him Jesus, and his conception will be the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is fundamentally necessary to the birth of Jesus in the first place. He comes into the world, the Son of God, born in human form, through the work of the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit that conceives Jesus in Mary's womb. In your life and mine, Scripture says that in a similar way, the Holy Spirit gives us birth. All of us are born naturally, but there is a spiritual rebirth that God seeks to bring about. And Scripture is clear that it comes about by the Holy Spirit. One of the places we see that so very clearly is in the third chapter of John, when Jesus is speaking to a Pharisee named Nicodemus, and he says, "Nicodemus, you must be born again of the Spirit." It is the Spirit that gives new birth. And so just as Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, so you and I are reborn through the work of the Holy Spirit. And having given us new birth, Scripture says, the Holy Spirit indwells us, or He lives within us. Again, we see this very clearly in the life and ministry of Jesus. And again, Pastor McLean spoke of it last week as we looked at the baptism of Jesus. The Holy Spirit came in a physical form as a dove and descended upon Jesus as a sign, as a way for people to be able to see that the Spirit was within Jesus. And Scripture declares very clearly that when we are born of the Spirit, then the Spirit indwells us. He doesn't give us birth and then leave. The Spirit comes to live within us. He is now a part of us. And indeed, the new life, this spiritual life that we live because the Spirit is within us. Scripture says in many different places, saying essentially the same thing, just negatively, if we don't have the Spirit within us, then we don't belong to God. If we don't have the Spirit within us, then we're not children of God. If we don't have the Spirit within us, the only life we are still living is the natural life to which we were born. But we are unable to live the spiritual life without the Spirit within us. So the Spirit gives conception to Jesus. He's born through the Holy Spirit. The Spirit indwells Jesus. As the Spirit gives birth to us and indwells us, and then when we move on to Luke chapter 4, here we are in verse 1. Luke tells us that Jesus, after he'd been baptized, that he was led by the Holy Spirit. Specifically here, he was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness where Satan tempted him for 40 days. A story you can read about in the first 13 verses of Luke chapter 4. But the important point here is the Holy Spirit who gave birth to Jesus, the Holy Spirit who is dwelling in Jesus, is now leading Jesus. The Holy Spirit's not just living there, just kind of laying low and hanging out, whatever that may mean, within us. The Holy Spirit is active, and one of His activities is to lead. He is guiding Jesus in Jesus' ministry, and Jesus, led by the Holy Spirit, went into the wilderness. How did Jesus know to go there? How did Jesus deal with the temptation of Satan's and so on? Because of the Holy Spirit within him, leading him into that situation. And so it is with us. It's interesting that when Jesus was with his disciples, those men and women who had chosen to follow him and who were learning about him, that Jesus, being led by the Spirit, was in turn leading them. Jesus was leading them in ministry. He was teaching them about the will of God. He was showing them how to live a life guided by the Holy Spirit because his life was being guided by the Holy Spirit. And often the disciples would say things like, well, teach us how to do things like you do them. And although they didn't really understand that, in great part what they're saying is teach us how the Holy Spirit is at work in your life. And so Jesus did that. He taught them. He taught them how to pray. And we use some of those words in the Lord's Prayer that we just read, that we just prayed together here a few moments ago. He showed them what a life in the Spirit looked like. But then he did something that at first seems a hard thing. He said to his disciples, after having been with them for three some years, he said, you know, very soon I'm going away. I'm going to die, and then 3 days later I will be raised from the dead, and then I will ascend. I will go back into heaven to be with my Heavenly Father. That's where I came from, and that's where I'm going back to. But after I leave, I want you to keep doing what I've been doing. I want you to keep living in the way that I've been living. I want you to keep serving as I've been serving. I want you to tell other people about who I am and what I have taught, and I want you to point people to God the Father and that they can have a relationship with Him through me. And the disciples ask a very, very important and very logical question. How are we going to do that? I mean, everything that we've been able to do, little as it is, and compared with you, we have done because you've been leading us. And you've been showing us, you've been teaching us, who's going to lead us now? And that's when Jesus says, the Holy Spirit will lead you. The same Spirit who has led me, I am giving to you. The Father will send Him to you so that you, as I have been, may be led by the Spirit. So the Spirit who gives birth, the Spirit who indwells, the Spirit who leads Jesus, is now also the Spirit who leads us. The Spirit who's not just hanging around, the Spirit who's not just kind of on the sidelines saying, well, Steve has been born again and I'm indwelling him, let's see how he can do. Let's see whether he can pay attention. No, he is leading me and he is leading you as he led Jesus. Now the Spirit leads the followers of Jesus Christ in all different kinds of ways, but there are four primary ways that we see attested in Scripture, but also that have been experienced by Christians for the last 2,000 years who've asked the question, well, how does the Spirit lead? How does this work? For example, in Luke chapter 4, verse 1, I just said that Jesus was led into the wilderness. Well, how did the Spirit lead? I mean, did he give him a dream? Did he speak audibly? Did he write something on a sheet, piece of paper? How did the Spirit lead Jesus? The answer? We don't know. So we have to use some ideas from the Bible, but also the experience of Christians through the years to say, how does the Spirit lead? How have you found the Spirit leading in your life? How do you know the Spirit is leading you? And it's not just, you know, yesterday's pizza or something that's giving you some weird ideas. Well, here are four principles. The first thing I think that we can talk about and how the Spirit leads us is through what people often call inner urgings. That perhaps their minds, their thoughts are focused on something in particular, and they just have a sense that there's something besides their own inner spirit or whatever it might be that has guided them there. For example, you might have an urging to pray for a particular person. And it feels like it's just this idea enters your head, I need to pray for so-and-so. Some people experience this when they wake up in the middle of the night and they have a hard time going to sleep and they're just laying there maybe thinking, maybe praying, but something comes into their mind, a person or a situation. And it just feels like that it was something outside themselves in the sense that it wasn't them, but recognizing that it's the Holy Spirit who again lives within them is speaking to their human spirit. An urging to pray for someone, an urging to be helpful in a practical way. Maybe you see someone, a friend or a neighbor, and you just have this sense, I should go and see how they're doing. I should just go have a conversation with them. There's just something that's there, an urging, a way in which your mind just gets focused on something. That often is the Holy Spirit at work in your life. Maybe there's a relationship that's not going well. Someone in your life that you want to be close to, but something has happened as you're not as close as you'd like. And all of a sudden this idea comes into your mind that there's something in particular that you should do. Maybe there's a particular kind of conversation, and you have a sense that that's not just something you came up with. It may even be something that you'd really rather not do if it were up to you, but it's like the Spirit is saying, no, you need to go do this, and urging. Another way in which the Spirit does this in our minds, oftentimes we just kind of call it a conscience, but for a Christian that means the Holy Spirit, is if you're preparing or thinking about doing something that you know God doesn't want you to do. A particular action, or you're about to speak a word, or even just some thoughts you're having, something within you kind of goes, no, I shouldn't do that. You know, the Holy Spirit is seeking to kind of change the direction of your thinking or focus you in a particular area. That's a primary way in which the Holy Spirit leads. Now, it's subtle, or it certainly sounds subtle. It's something we need to be paying attention to. We need to be listening, if you will, for the Holy Spirit. Not that he usually speaks audibly, you know, not like another voice in your head that just comes out of nowhere, but that you're listening in the sense that you're paying attention to the urgings. Not neglecting them, not just kind of putting them aside, but at least saying, is this from the Holy Spirit? Sometimes it may not be real obvious, but at least check it out. Which comes to the second point of how we're led by the Holy Spirit is through God's Word. Again, while the inner urgings may be pretty subtle and sometimes hard to decipher, God's Word is written down for us. But guess who inspired its writing? The same guy who is living within us. He's the one who put it on paper through the authors of Scripture. And so any time that you have a sense that the Spirit might be leading you somewhere through a particular kind of inner urging, what is really good is to go to the Bible and to say, is Scripture consistent with where I think that the Spirit is trying to lead me? Because the Spirit is never going to lead you someplace where Scripture says you shouldn't go. There will never be that contradiction. And so Scripture can become kind of a touch point, a way in which the Spirit can get your attention. Now, Scripture is written over a period of about 1,500 years and nothing for the last 2,000 years. You're not going to be able to go to the Bible and find a verse on, you know, on something very, very particular. Jesus didn't look up a verse in the Bible that said, go into the wilderness, Jesus, and be tempted by the Holy Spirit. He clearly wasn't led in that particular kind of way. And usually the Bible doesn't do that. But what it can do is, again, it can be a touchstone for us, a place where we go and say, is what I am sensing from the Holy Spirit, I believe it may be from the Holy Spirit, is it consistent with what God has revealed through His Holy Spirit in Scripture? So that's the second way in which the Holy Spirit leads, is through Scripture. The third way in which He leads is through prayer. It's very important in this whole process to be in conversation with God. And that's really what prayer is. A conversation. And just say, God, is this your Holy Spirit trying to urge me to do this thing? You know, I've been thinking about this. I've been feeling this is something I should be doing. Is this from you? I spent some time in your word, and it seems like it's kind of on board with what that urging is. I didn't find anything in there that warns me that maybe I'm on the wrong track. But just prayerfully, God, can you continue to help, either to affirm this and show me that this is the right way, or show me that, no, I've been mistaken. Because we can certainly be mistaken. A lot of thoughts come into our heads. They're certainly not all from the Holy Spirit. So prayer really helps us, again, to pick our way through these ways in which the Holy Spirit leads. And then the fourth way that the Holy Spirit leads is through friends in Christ. People who, like us, are committed to Jesus Christ, who believe the same things we do, have the same kind of a worldview, a worldview that is shaped by God and who God is and our relationship with God. And to be able to sit down with a friend in Christ and to say, look, I've been having these thoughts. I'm wondering if they're from the Spirit. I spent some time in Scripture, and this is kind of what I learned along the way, having to do with where I felt the Lord was leading. I prayed about it, and this is kind of what I'm sensing in my prayer. And then get some input and feedback from your friend, because the same Holy Spirit who is living in you and who's leading you also lives in your friend and can use that friend as a way to affirm or as a way to get you to think about what it is that you believe may be of the Spirit. Now again, as I said earlier, the Holy Spirit works in many, many more ways than that. And we see that in the Bible in different ways. But again, most Christians seeking to live a Spirit-led life have found those four areas as being things to explore, as things to pay attention to, as things to use, both that inner life, if you will, as well as the outer life, the inner life of urgings and prayer and the outer life of Scripture and fellow believers. So sometimes knowing exactly where the Spirit is leading can take some work. It can take some time to determine. But always believe that the Spirit is at work and the Spirit is leading. The Spirit is never going to assume, you know, Steve, let's see if you can figure out where you're supposed to go and I'll just sit back and watch. That is never going to be the case. It's always going to be the Spirit knows where God wants me to go and He will be leading me in that direction in all the different ways in which He does that. So again, the Spirit gives us birth, the Spirit lives within us, the Spirit leads us. The fourth thing, we go back to the Gospel of Luke, now in verse 13, Jesus is leaving the wilderness, which is down in Judea, the southern part of Israel. He's going back into Galilee, the northern part of Israel, which is His home territory. That's where He grew up and has lived most of His life. And He's going back there to start His ministry, His teaching. And His preaching and His healing and all the things that He does begins in Galilee. And in Luke chapter 4, verse 14, it says, and Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, went to Galilee to begin His ministry.
Again, the Holy Spirit is at work in Jesus' life, having led him, now he's also empowering Jesus. Jesus is able to do what he does because the power of God is within him through the Holy Spirit. And we could say, good for Jesus. And some Christians even say, you know, if I was the Son of God, I could do what Jesus did, but I'm just me. So, you know, I can't do all that Bible stuff. I can't do all the things that Jesus asked me to do. Sorry, the Bible doesn't let you get away with that. Because the Bible says the same Spirit that empowered Jesus will empower you. We are led into ministry. We are led into the Christian life. We are led to live the spiritual life empowered by the Holy Spirit, meaning not just left to our own devices, not just having to rely on our abilities and our experience and all of those things from a human standpoint, but spiritually speaking, supernaturally, we will be empowered. During our sermon series on the work of the Holy Spirit, these several last months, we have been talking about some of those areas of empowerment. One area is what we call the fruit of the Spirit. That when the Holy Spirit lives within us, he's at work within us producing a certain kind of a character of life that mirrors the character of God. And so Paul says in Galatians chapter 5 that the fruit of the Spirit, what the Holy Spirit is seeking to produce within you, to give fruit to in your life, are those things that characterize God, which include love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Those are all ways in which the Holy Spirit is trying to develop you as a human being, as a person. And as these things grow, you are becoming empowered to be able to do the ministry to which God is calling you. If God is calling you to love people, then he wants to grow within you a supernatural kind of love so you can love them as God loves them. Not just a human love. He wants to give you his joy, not just some kind of happy feeling that we can manufacture as human beings and so on and so forth down the line. The fruit of the Spirit is one of the ways in which the Spirit seeks to empower us to be and to do what God calls us to be and to do. Another thing that we talked about in our sermon series were what we call the gifts of the Spirit. And while the fruit of the Spirit, all the fruit of the Spirit is for every Christian, the gifts of the Spirit, although every Christian has a spiritual gift, different gifts are given to different Christians. So some may have the gift of mercy, or some may have a gift of generosity, some may have the gift of teaching. Some may have the gift of hospitality. All different gifts are listed in different places in the Bible. But the purpose of these gifts, which so clearly are given by the Holy Spirit, is to empower ministry. God is never going to ask you or me or our church as a whole to do anything that he has not, through his Holy Spirit, empowered us to do. If you say, I can't love people the way God asked me to, it's because you have not allowed the Holy Spirit to empower you. Because the Holy Spirit in you can enable you to love as God would have you love. And so when Christians say, I can't, it really is an I won't. Or at the very least, they are unaware and not paying attention to the work of the Holy Spirit. Nothing we are asked to do is going to be outside of the empowerment of the Spirit in our lives. And so what we need to do is we need to seek the Holy Spirit to seek a better understanding of our gifts. We need to seek to develop those characteristics that echo the characteristics of God that we call the fruit of the Spirit. Those are ways in which the Spirit empowers us to be the people that God calls us to be, to be able to do the ministry of Jesus. Jesus was empowered by the Holy Spirit. Scripture is clear. And so are you and I, if we're open to the Spirit, as Jesus was open to the Spirit. So, having been born by the Spirit, being dwelt in by the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, and now being empowered by the Spirit, that leads us to where we are in our scripture passage today. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, what does Jesus say? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He takes the verses from the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament, he applies them to himself. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to do what? He has anointed me. The Spirit who has given birth to Jesus, who dwells in Jesus, who leads Jesus, who empowers Jesus, now anoints Jesus. Notice Jesus doesn't say, I woke up this morning and decided this is going to be my ministry. I kind of checked around and I took a poll and people are saying this is what I should do. I went to rabbi school and this is what they taught me. No, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and He has anointed me. Jesus is not a self-appointed Savior. He is anointed by God's Holy Spirit. And anointing in the Bible simply means that you have been given a purpose. That's what anointing means. You are given a purpose, given a mission, given a ministry. That's what anointing is in the Bible. There's nothing magical about it. There's certainly nothing ceremonial about it. I mean, there were ceremonies in the Old Testament. For example, men at certain times were anointed. Literally, oil was poured on them when they became king of Israel. But what was the purpose of that? It was to signal that this man now, under God's leadership and under God's power, is now the leader of our nation. And his job is to lead us closer to God and to lead us according to God's will for us as a people. He has been anointed. He has been given a responsibility. Jesus himself, the word Christ, means anointed one. Christ is the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew Messiah. It means the same thing in two different languages. It just simply means the one who's anointed. Now, he's not the only anointed person in the Bible, but he is anointed specifically, as he says here, to do what? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. To be poor is to be without. Usually we use the word poor in a materialistic sense, meaning that they're without material things. But biblically speaking, poverty is to be without something that God seeks to provide, and it could be material resources. But here, Jesus is speaking in a much larger spiritual sense. These are people without God. They are without God. But what is the good news? That though they are poor, though they are without God, though they're separated from God because there's sin, though they have not yet been born of the Spirit and dwelt by the Spirit, are not being led and guided and anointed by the Spirit, the good news is that all of that is available to them. The good news to the poor is that they can become rich. And they can be enriched in every way through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus has come to preach that message that the Spirit that is within me can be within you and the Spirit can do for you what the Spirit does for me. Now, he is unique in that he is the Son of God. He never stopped being the Son of God, even when he came down to this earth, and he is the Son of God still today. That is his eternal being. But as a human being, as Jesus, the son of Joseph, the man from Nazareth, the Holy Spirit was in him and enabling him, empowering him, leading him, anointing him to bring this particular good news. And he ends with the verse there from Isaiah that says, and to proclaim the Lord's favor. This is God taking favor upon his people. And saying that through the work of the Holy Spirit and because of what my son Jesus Christ has done on the cross, you can be rich in me. You can no longer be in a place where you're without a relationship with me, but you can be in a relationship with me. And Jesus is saying all of this happens because the Holy Spirit is at work. And the Holy Spirit takes what Jesus does in his death on the cross and in his resurrection and applies it to each one of us who have been born again, who have been indwelt by him, who are being led, who who are being empowered and who are being given a purpose for life and ministry through him. And so together this morning, we can return to Luke chapter 4, and we can take what Jesus does, which he applies to himself, and because of the work of the Holy Spirit, we can apply it to each one of us as well. We could say the Spirit of the Lord is upon Steve. The Spirit of the Lord is upon Susan, upon Bob, upon Laureen, upon each and every one of us, and everyone who is joining us on live stream. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Steve, for he has anointed Steve to bring good news to the poor. That is my ministry because that was Jesus' ministry. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in me through the Holy Spirit, as it is fulfilled in you through the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit who is upon Jesus, is upon each one of us. Or we can speak collectively using the mission statement of our church, and we could say it this way, the Spirit of the Lord is upon us as Congregational Presbyterian Church, for he has anointed us to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. That is the work of the Holy Spirit, individually and corporately as the family of faith. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this series that we have had, looking specifically at the work of the Holy Spirit. And today, by looking at the work of the Spirit in the life and ministry of Jesus, it is able to bring it all together because if the Spirit was at work in his life, so Scripture promises he will be at work in our life. It is the very same Spirit. It is not a lesser Spirit just because we're human beings and less than the Son of God. It is the Spirit of God. And everything he gave to Jesus, he is available to give to us. And every way in which Jesus made use of the Holy Spirit, being led by him and being empowered by him and taking his anointing from him, so we are people to live our very best life as followers of Jesus, to live our very best life spiritually in a world where there is so much that is going wrong. We live our best life when we are led by the Spirit, when we're empowered by the Spirit, when we're given a mission by the Spirit, for he dwells in us, having given birth to us. We belong to him, and through him, we are children of our Heavenly Father. And so may we never fall into the trap of believing that the Christian life is just about some ideas in which we give our belief and say by faith that they are true, but that the Christian life is so much more. It is life in the Spirit, enabled, empowered, led, anointed by the Spirit. And it is through that life and in that life that we can live here in this world, indeed into eternity, as true followers of Jesus Christ, truly living the meaning of what it means to be Christian. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.